Psalms 19, section 3 of my notes. We'll title this section, Moreover by Them is Thy Servant Warned, verse 11. So what is it that I awkwardly refer to as having stumbled upon that has this power to convert man's soul, make wise the seducible, rejoice the heart, and enlighten the eyes? Well, in David's time, around 1000 BC, he would have been familiar with the first five books of it, the parts written by the prophet Moses. These five books comprise what is called the Torah, or else the Pentateuch. The purpose behind the Torah was to ground anything other that might be later said orally, passed down or as tradition, or written and being attempted to be added to it. It's there to ground that, to double check that, to reference that. If there's one thing that can be said to be true about the heart of man, it is his tendency to bend, to distort, to subtract, and to add to it as his own heart sees fit. The Torah can be thought of as a seed or the blueprint from which all other religious text and observance is to be anchored to. So now when David talks about the law, verse 7, the testimony, verse 7, statutes, verse 8, commandments, verse 8, fear, verse 9, judgments, verse 9. From his frame of reference, this Torah is what he's talking about. It is the material covered in these five books that to him can convert man's soul, make wise the seducible, rejoice the heart, and enlighten the eyes. So what about the other books of the Old Testament, including the writings of David, you might ask? They check up with the seed or the core foundation of the Torah. For instance, in the Torah, God makes a conditional covenant in Deuteronomy that if the nation of Israel obeyed these statutes, God would tremendously bless Israel like no other nation. If they did not, he would curse them like no other nation. It is evidenced by the additional historical documentation of the Old Testament that when Israel did flirt with obedience, the few short times that they actually did, that they were blessed, tremendously blessed, like no other nation. The rest of the time, they were being strongly warned by the prophets, which they paid little or no mind to, which then led them occasionally into a pit of bondage that they had dug for themselves to fall into by not obeying, one, and not heeding, two, the many consequential warnings. You see, the remainder of the Old Testament checks up with the seed Torah. It is what had grown out of it. So what about the New Testament? How does it check up with the Torah? From the time of Adam to the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the time of Moses, to the time of David, to the time of the prophets, it had been promised Israel that there would be a Messiah come out of Israel for all of mankind. The New Testament is the testimony that this Messiah did actually come to us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. It is meant to provide all the necessary proof and documentation of that. You see, the remainder of the New Testament checks up with the seed Torah. It is what had grown out of it even after the condemning testimony of the Old Testament. It is essentially saying to us, yeah, We have our problems keeping the seed or the Torah. It's law, it's testimonies, it's statutes, it's commandments. It's reverential fear and it's verdicts or judgments. Most certainly, we have our problems keeping to this. But most certainly, God did not leave it at that. Makes more sense when we read 19:7. The law, meaning the Torah, of the law is perfect, meaning it's entire. The word is tamim, entire. The law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul, converting, the word is in the Hebrew is pronounced shub, turning back the soul. Five books, entire to themselves, transmitted for the purpose of turning back souls from their fallen nature. 19:7 also, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Testimony means, the word is pronounced eduth, which is a testimony or a witness of the Lord. The Lord here is Jehovah, is sure. Sure is a Hebrew word pronounced aman, which means to build up, to support. It's fostering, in other words, like a parent. Making wise the simple. Pethe is the word, and it means seducible, or to the point of being foolish, or simple, or silly. The Torah consisting of the witness, the seed mindset of early human interaction with God, the establishment of Messiah's lineage, the showing of God's miraculous ability to deliver from bondage, protect from revenge, sustain in the wilderness, direct and guide to the land of promise, to possess, to go ahead of in battle, the assurance or the issuance of 10 commandments, and various religious rites, many of them shadows or foretypes of the Messiah to come, the establishment of the conditional covenant meant to measure out, to prove to man, like a measuring line, the obedience or disobedience of man to these rites or these commandments. 19:8. Adds the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Statutes here, the word's pronounced pikud, or pikud, which means an appointed mandates. The appointed mandates of the Lord, Jehovah, are right. That word is yashar, which means straight. They're cut straight. They're not cut crooked. They're not wandering or drifting. They're straight. Rejoicing is the Hebrew word shama, which means brightening up the heart. The statutes of the Lord, or the appointed mandates of Jehovah, are straight, rejoicing or brightening up the heart. Heart there is the word leb or lebe. I mean, the center of our feelings, the core center of our feelings or our will or our intellect. The Torah, consisting of mandates intended to brighten man's core, being that would otherwise be dark and hopeless. Mandates that are cut straight, that do not waver or curve aimlessly. 19:8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Commandments there. The word's pronounced mitzvah, which means command. It's a human command or a divine command. The commandment of Jehovah is pure. The word there is bar, which means beloved or choice or clean. Is the commandment of the Lord is choice, is clean. Enlightening, the word there is ore, which means to make luminous, or it also means the break of day. Imagine in your eyes the break of day, the enlightening, the illumination. The Torah, consisting of commandments that are the choice commandments, much to be beloved, that enlightened man to his desperate need for a Messiah, the one in whose obedience would fulfill for them the demands of the commandment where they could not, by whose blood their sins would be atoned for and cleansed, by whose spirit these redeemed would be separated out and guided and sealed. 19:9 now. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear. The Hebrew word is pronounced yirah, which means moral reverence or exceeding fearfulness, exceeding reverence, maybe another way of saying it, of Jehovah, is clean. That word is tahore, which means physically or chemically or ceremonially pure or clean. Okay? Enduring, which means standing. Amad is the pronunciation of the Hebrew word. Amad. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring, amad, standing, forever. Forever, the word is ad, which means perpetually or substantially. The Torah, consisting of many pictures of God's strength and power and determination, his awe and his splendor and his revelation and his miracle, miraculous being, is the holiness, instilling in us that good, pure reverence for a good, pure God, his influence upon us. Fearfully and wonderfully made we are, right? But it's a fearful thing also to be in his presence. 19:9 also, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments, that's the word mishpat, which is favorable or unfavorable verdicts of Jehovah. These verdicts are true. The word is emeth, which is stable. They're trustworthy. They're certain. And righteous, the word there is tzadok, to make right, to make clean or cleansed or justified. Altogether, the word yakad, as a united or unitedly or to make all at once. The Torah, consisting of the mind and action of God towards mankind as a whole, and certain individual men and women in particular, as they lived, the daily interactions he had with them and they had with him, the verdicts placed upon their lives, the directions and the, you know, that kind of thing, that directed their thoughts and actions to help them, else to turn them back around. And then with this, we have the additional Old Testament, how God patiently showed himself towards us as we attempted to keep ourselves to this all, minus Christ and minus his spiritual regeneration living within us. And then the additional New Testament, how Christ came and by his death he conquered, and by his resurrection he quickened the missing part within us, and by the sending of the Holy Spirit now guides us and instructs us and reproves us and empowers us. Plus the testimony of those who first believed on him and what he was able to do through them, having himself achieved all this to the Father's good pleasure. For all that is written in the Torah about the heart of man, much more important to all of us is what is written pertaining to the heart of God, how much he cares for us to come back. For all the further evidence of him in the future testaments and the links that he was willing to go to bring us back, the consistency and patience that he was willing to expend, the overwhelming desire to put us back into eternal fellowship with him, his heavenly host, his fellow redeemed brothers and sisters of all ages past, the price that he ultimately did pay. What we are incapable of doing ourselves, God did not leave it at that. What we had tried our hardest to deny and place ourselves above, God did not leave it at that. What we had tried our hardest to do and observe and evangelize without there being need for Christ, God did not leave it at that. And as we conclude this section, we get to verse 11. Through all of this that we're talking about, statutes and covenants and commandments and testimonies and all of this, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward.